have some.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Yes, Have Some podcast. My name is Craig Goldberg. Welcome to the show. We are in a post Gil Kenan interview era. We finally had Gil on. It was actually funny when we talked to him. I think before he was like, thank you for being so patient. I'm like, movie just came out a couple weeks ago. Like, we're good. It's not like it's 2027. Like, it's not even out on streaming yet.
Right.
Like, I thought it was great. I thought it was very timely. Had a great conversation with Gil. So thank you guys for tuning in. And let me introduce my co-hosts, Abigail Gardner. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Staying hydrated. And I was soaking up the sun this morning. I said that earlier on the Patreon portion of this, which you should all sign up for Patreon so you can hear.
Yeah, we just did a bonus episode for Patreon.
Yeah.
30 that whole was good. Minutes.
30 whole minutes of just confessions. It was just like Usher.
Just
these are so my confessions.
These are my confessions. Hey, my brother told me this weekend that Confessions was his go-to karaoke song.
Not surprising.
I would love to see that.
He loves Usher.
You know what? He also loves Weird Al.
He does love Weird Al.
It balances him out.
Okay, that's his. Cool. He loves Weird Al and Usher. Yeah. Jacob Walsh, how are you?
I'm good. I'm here. I want to watch a movie. I want to go to sleep. I want to get out of my house. I have conflicting feelings. It's this weekend's coming up. Do I stay home? Do I sleep all weekend? Do I go kayaking? Like, the weather's it's warm.
I know. Ooh, you should go kayaking.
It's almost already too hot to go kayaking is the problem, though. It's like, down in South Georgia and Florida, it's warm. It's like nice during the early morning, but as soon as you hit like 2-3 o'clock, it feels like death. It's like, mm-hmm. if you're under the sun, Craig knows it. Yeah. It's awful. It is awful. So like being on the water with no shade,
you're cooking.
It can be pretty awful, but I don't know. I'd like to go.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know, man. You should maybe go. I like that you were like, I want to sleep. I want to watch a movie. I want to leave the house. I was like, it sounds like you should just go get a hotel and watch a movie.
Well, it's just all the things I want to do that are
always.
It's like, I could just sleep all weekend and that would be great. Or I could like be productive, which would also be good. I don't know.
I was productive. I cleaned out. We're still talking. We're still talking.
Sorry, Dennis. Yeah.
It's Denis.
His name's not Dennis.
Is it?
His name's not Dennis.
I don't know what his name is. I cleaned the laundry room yesterday. I did like a whole project.
Yeah.
Abby, didn't I do good?
You did good by me. You sent me a text. You were like, I'm getting dinner. And it sent the picture of the clean back room, which is great. Yeah, you know how that laundry room was. Like, you had to like go in order to start the washer. You had to like go over a bunch of boxes.
You had to climb on top of the dryer.
Yeah,
like Legends of the Hidden Temple.
I was hurting myself trying to do the clothes. So I was really grateful that you cleaned that out. And we have a no box policy now.
I like room. It's like 6 months straight of Ghostbusters talk. As soon as it's done, well, I cleaned the laundry room finally. Threw away a bunch of boxes.
A lot of Amazon boxes.
we're gonna talk about The Omen tonight. We're gonna talk about the first Omen, which is a name of a movie. It's not just what I call the original Omen, to avoid any confusion there. But I had never seen the original, so I want to talk about that as well, and talk about where I think it fits into my horror pantheon. Mm-hmm. And then we're gonna talk about the first Omen, which is there's a lot of new horror movies out, is there not, Jacob?
Yeah, there are. There's a steady stream.
Mm-hmm. Steady stream of horror. And before we get into that, though, I think we should give a small Ghostbusters update, box office wise. Man, kind of still chugging along. You know, it's at 103.8 million going into this upcoming weekend. Actually, that doesn't include today. So it's probably going to be at 104.5 or something going into tomorrow. And then maybe it'll make another 3 to 5 million this weekend. And then going into this weekend for international, it's at 73 million, which is interesting because Afterlife made 74 total internationally. So it's going to make more internationally, which I think is a good sign because I think Ghostbusters has struggled
Internationally, and as Gil was saying in our interview, like that was part of it, was the inclusivity of like, let's get this out there for all the Ghostbusters fans. Yeah, so that's great. Yeah.
So it's going to inch towards 200 million total in the next couple weeks, and reports of $100 million budget. You know, tax breaks, sponsorships. I don't know how any of this shit works, but yeah, it kind of seems like it's not. I'm sure they always wanted to make more, but it's consistent.
Sure. And it's not bad. It's not like great.
Right.
But it's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's made its money back. It's doing good. It's still making money. It's still in the theater.
And it's good for the brand.
It's profitable.
I mean, we can pick apart release dates and schedules and all that. I do think having Kong come out the next weekend was tough, but also like there's big movies that come out almost every week. It's really hard to figure out when to release a movie, but to break 100 million domestic is still a big achievement. And they're cost conscious when making these movies. The days of just sinking $180 or $200 million into a franchise movie, it's just unless it's Marvel, or I don't even think I think Star Wars is going to scale back. Like we're just kind of in a different era of movie going. Unless you're Godzilla and King Kong, then you're just in your own kind of
stronger, faster.
And Jacob, I feel like you have conflicting feelings because obviously you love the Godzilla and Kong, but it's
Godzilla X Kong is. I mean, I'm happy that it exists. I'm glad it's out there. It's a fun movie. It's Godzilla. I'm never going to root against Godzilla, but it is the worst movie in the MonsterVerse. Like out of the four or five movies we've gotten, American Godzilla, it's the worst one. But we were talking about it last night on Monster Island. It's at over $400 million. It came out after Ghostbusters, and it's already past $400 million. It's beating all of the other right now. It's just under Godzilla 2014 for what it's made, but it might still catch up with that movie. I don't know how much longer it's going to be in the theater, but it's doing really well. So there's 100% going to be more of those, and that's great. But but you know, I want Ghostbusters to do good. I want it to be a sure thing, and I want it to keep going. And I think it is going to keep going, but
sure.
No doubt.
I just think Ghostbusters as a franchise, like I'm always trying to figure out Abigail, what the comp is. Like, what is it? It's not Star Wars. It's not Marvel. It's not like, is it close to?
It's unique.
But is it? It feels like it's close to Star Trek.
Maybe.
No.
The demographic. Maybe. No.
Maybe. Yeah. Sure. I don't know.
Not like
in that Star Trek has Star Wars to compete with, and everything else is always bigger than
in
it.
In the sense, just as like if a new Star Trek movie came out this year, I think it would be comparable box office.
No. Go look and see what the J.J. Abrams Star Trek made. I bet it fucking made so much money.
Mm. Yeah, I think, but that was already like 10 years. That's the other problem was that.
But still, but like Star Trek is always, there's 10 Star Trek movies. You can't compare that to Ghost.
The last Star Trek movie came out in 2016.
Okay.
The domestic box office was $158 million.
Okay.
The J.J. Abrams one from 2009 box office was $257 million. But Star Trek has that more international, you know, fan base too. So I don't know, but listen,
it's so hard to compare to it's cause it's a comedy, like it's a horror comedy. It's not exactly the same as any, it doesn't really have true straight up sci-fi elements like Star Trek or Star Wars. Yeah. So it's
I'll be interested to see what Beetlejuice does. I have a feeling Beetlejuice is going to be very big. I just have this feeling like it's that right pocket of nostalgia.
And Jenna Ortega.
It's the first time Beetlejuice has not been revisited since 1989.
I meant to bring this up on Toy Anxiety last night and forgot, but the fact that there's a new Beetlejuice coming out makes me wonder if there's going to be toys, because you know, the first movie had a big toy line and, I was just thinking about how much I really wish Kenner was around to put out like a Kenner style Beetlejuice line for this new movie.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to imagine there's going to be the merchandising for it.
Yeah, but but it will be like, I bet there will be toys, but it will be like, you know, it'll look like plasma series figures of Beetlejuice. So, it's like,
So you want more like a kids focus fun.
I want toys that look like toys. Yeah.
Toys that look like toys. All right. He said
not mannequins, not 6-inch mannequins.
Yeah.
Dude, do you remember that movie Mannequin? Have you guys ever seen that?
I think I saw like a TV edit on Comedy Central when I was young.
What's it about? Mannequins come to life?
It's like one mannequin that falls in love with a person, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, that's it. There's a good Bob's Burgers episode about mannequins.
Hey, they just don't like
also a Seinfeld episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, the Elaine mannequin?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dude, mannequins are funny.
Mannequins were huge in the
movie. Mannequin Ghost, Answer the Call.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
that's there true.
One of the better parts.
Yep. All right.
All right. Episode's over.
Everybody okay? Let me. Are you losing steam? Therapist. What's happening?
No, I'm ready to talk about The Omen. I'm excited.
Yeah, let's talk about Omen.
All right.
Omen.
Where should we start with this, Jacob?
Well, there's a new Omen coming out. This is where we start. So the first Omen, which is the prequel that's in theaters right now. Is it still in theaters? Who knows? Kind of came out of nowhere. Trailer came out like last month or whatever. And it was like, what? There's another Omen movie coming out. And early like word from people is that it's really good. You know, I'm starting to see all these people on Instagram or reviewers and stuff saying like, hey, this is a legit good movie. Go watch it. So I'm like, got me really excited. I went and saw it the night it came out. And I was like, yeah, this fucking movie's great. It's the second best Omen movie. You know, there's like six Omen movies. Mm-hmm. This is really good. So,
okay. Let's, we all saw it, but let's kind of take a step back and talk about the original.
Okay.
Which I had never seen. I don't know why. I feel like it's definitely in the vein of I like, you know, there's that pocket of 1970s horror movies that I tend to enjoy, like The Exorcist or The Shining and things like that.
Supernatural horror.
But I've never, well, in religious horror, which is I love religious horror is my favorite subgenre of horror because I do find religion just general to be terrifying. Like even just the regular, like just going to church sounds scary.
It is.
But I like religious horror, and Abby, you had seen The Omen before, correct?
Yeah. And much like you, I have that same interest in religious supernatural stuff. Not only I love reading Stephen King stuff, which is always about supernatural things, but I do find the church to be terrifying and interesting because I've had that inside perspective. So, and seeing The Omen for the first time, not the first Omen, but the original Omen, I watched it back in the days of us doing our like Halloween horror window. I think that Jake had talked about us maybe talking about it. So I watched it and I remember being like, oh, this is like a huge important pillar, like in the horror movies. Like this has got scenes that are like really disturbing and unexpected for the 70s. Maybe not unexpected, but very much like groundbreaking and genre defining. And watching, my honest real feeling about Damien and The Omen is that I love the idea of the Antichrist being born in like a modern day time and then being like that child's relationship with its parents and the fact that he's like a kid, which is so innocent and cute, but like at the same time has the power of like the fucking son of Satan. And I love it.
All right.
I love little menacing things like that. And
have you never seen Problem Child?
No.
I think you'd like that.
No.
I think
I was one.
Well, Problem Child does have red hair. So
yeah.
Oh, okay.
I like calling it Problem Child.
That's his name. Problem Child.
His name's what Problem.
Was
his name?
Well, that's why I like calling Damien Omen. Like his first name is Omen.
Damien's Omen.
Yeah. Problem
Dude,
Child.
That kid looks like Omen.
Hold on. His name is Junior.
Junior. Yeah. Yep. Junior.
Okay.
You're Craig talking about like how much you love religious horror. You guys have to sit down and watch Exorcist 3. you have to do it.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm it's in. Great. We'll it talk is about so it. Good. Yeah. Yeah. Omen's one of those movies that I think is right up there with, like, you don't hear it talked about as much. And, you know, it's not, I'm not going to say that it's as good as Rosemary's Baby or as good as The Exorcist, but it is in, it feels like you could watch all those movies together. They all have mm-hmm. the same vibe. They feel a little more real. They're a little more scary. They're all a little less silly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Omen fits right up there with those movies.
The original Omen, directed by Richard Donner. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Richard Donner, most famously or most famous for directing Superman. Mm-hmm. Superman 2. And going on to direct The Goonies and Scrooged.
Oh, cool.
Family. And Lethal Weapon. Like, Richard Donner did some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did some shit. starring Gregory Peck. And what I love about this, first of all, this era of filmmaking, when you just get these, like, legendary actors, like, you can just see Gregory Peck on set just being like, don't bother me till it's time to shoot, don't bring me to set, like, just being like a total asshole, but then, like, he's great, like, he's really great in it, is he not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really fun watching him try to murder a child
and lie to his wife the entire time they're together.
I really, really enjoyed watching it. I really thought that it has all the stuff I like about that time period of movie making. And, like, I don't know, like, Jacob, is it inspired at all by, like, Italian horror?
It's gotta be, sure. Yeah.
What's his name?
Argento. Well, the first Omen definitely is. There is a scene in the first Omen that happens that is directly pulled from this really awesome movie called Possession that I really love.
Yeah.
And I'd only seen Possession for the first time last year, but it's amazing. It's just, like, it's awesome. It's fun. It's weird. And there's a famous scene in that movie that I don't want to give it away, but they kind of emulate that scene in The Omen. And it's
right.
It's a kind of scene where, when it happens, if you had not seen The Possession, you're probably like, what the fuck is happening? But when I saw it, I was like, oh shit, they're doing Possession, you know? So,
okay.
I don't know where that was going, but
no, but it's on my list now.
An impassioned speech. Yeah, that plus you liked it.
The Gil Kenan movie you was talking about the other night. That's on my list.
I think Possession is also on Shudder. I don't know. I don't know if you guys have a Shudder.
We got Shudder.
We better
get you one.
Okay. Yeah,
I can get you. It's like a little salesperson.
Yeah,
I think I can get you guys in the Shudder. No problem. So, Jacob, you're right in saying that, like, the first Omen kind of came out of nowhere, because, like, I don't think I heard about this movie until the week it was coming out. And let's be honest, you hear, oh, it's a prequel to the original Omen. It you can roll your eyes at something like that, because a lot of these movies come out and they're just not great. We all just survived Exorcist Believer last year, which was not a prequel, but I mean, we buried that movie, and I don't always feel super comfortable burying movies, because I'm not a director. I've never written a movie. I know how hard it is to make a movie.
Sure.
I don't take pleasure in just going, holy shit, what a travesty. But
from the comfort of our own home.
While I sit back and ponder what flavor of popcorn I will be making tonight. probably movie theater butter, just putting it out there.
Yeah.
But The Exorcist Believer was so
was awesome. Bad. Yeah. But this movie, the last first Omen, feels more like an Exorcist movie than The Exorcist Believer did. Like, it has Exorcist vibes to it. It feels real. Mm-hmm. It's like a serious take on a movie, and then fucking crazy shit happens out of nowhere, and I'm like, this feels like how The Exorcist should have felt.
I agree.
It does. And it has, like, they do go out of their way to kind of utilize these, like, 1970s kind of filmmaking tactics and these shots where there's like these, there's something they used to do in movies that they don't necessarily do anymore, where, and I'm specifically thinking of the first Omen. Wait, no, The Omen,
the original Omen,
the original The Omen and The Shining, where it'll be a shot where it locks in on a character and then something happens kind of to the right or left of them. And then instead of cutting to it or quick panning to it, it does like a slow pan to the right and the music swells and then the camera comes in a little bit. And they do it really effectively in this movie. And clearly it's an homage to bring you into that like aesthetic of that type of filmmaking. Yeah. But it's not just that. It's like the film grain, the way it's color graded, the setting. They took it in, like having it being a European, non-American setting. I mean, there's things about the Exorcist Believer that just did not work, because when you're taking it from like, you know, the first Exorcist, it's like, think about the house in the first Exorcist, right? In the street and the fog and the street light. And it's, you know, you're in the outskirts of Washington, D.C., and there's this kind of like grit to it. And then like in the new one, it's like you're in Georgia, you're in the suburbs. Like it just takes you, right. It takes you out, it's of
yeah.
it.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want it to be a comfortable, like time in the South. Kind of, I don't know. Something about that totally doesn't add up, because in my opinion, if you're dealing with like biblical stuff, you're going to want to like hearken back to, you know, Roman Catholicism and the church and the Pope and like really deep, you know, layer it deeply. And so that sort of like, that it felt like the Righteous Gemstones version of, the
yeah,
Exorcist.
That's a good, yeah.
Yeah. And as someone who has had an exorcism and is okay to talk about it after all these years of therapy, like I have this feeling of,
I'm
like,
so sorry.
It's okay. I don't mind talking about it, honestly. It makes you fascinated.
I don't know if you've ever actually said that on the podcast in 8 years. And I feel like there's going to be a lot of people who are like, we're going to need to do a little Q&A episode.
I'll let you all know whenever I am going to talk about it.
Yeah,
there'll be a full episode.
But you've been through religious trauma.
Yeah, I've been through religious trauma. And so these kind of movies, as a kid, horror movies in general terrified me. But as an adult who is a whole person now who is healed, I can go back and watch The Exorcist and The Omen and really like see them as like, oh, these movies aren't evil. There is no actual evil. There's just really talented people who make movies. Right. And usually they're very kind. Yeah. And usually there's very relatable content in horror movies, mm-hmm. for people who feel like outsiders like me, who went right. through some yep. tough stuff.
And even if they are Hollywood elites who participate in like blood orgies, they don't talk about that a lot on the podcast. Right.
Right.
So, you know, that's just like what they do in their their downtime. Mm-hmm. And like, who am I to judge?
Yeah. Well, some of that stuff does tie into why I loved the premise of the first Omen. Like the fact that the church is so fed up with secularism that they're like, we need to bring about the Antichrist to shake shit right. up.
We're going to get in a little bit of spoiler territory. Okay. So, Jacob, what did you yeah. think of the plot of this movie?
Well, overall, I liked it mostly. There are a couple things, because it is a modern, like, it's not completely safe from modern movie tropes. You know what I mean? It's not.
Okay,
and sure. there's none. And there's nothing in it that I think is like too out of left field, or there wasn't too much where I came out of the movie and I was like, oh, of course they had to do that. But as a sign of like the times and modern movie making, there is a lot of just like made up plot shit that kind of negates stuff from the original. There are a few things where, you know, they're filling in a little, like the thing about the church is the one who wants to bring in Damien. I was like, oh, that's new.
Right.
That's a weird, right. that's kind of a weird twist, but didn't bother me. But the way the movie ends kind of like with, are we doing spoilers?
Yeah, we get a spoiler.
The way this movie ends with like Damien's got a sister, there's another, here's the mother, here's a clone of the mother that was supposed to, you know, like
much like Problem Child 2.
There's like clearly they're trying to set it up to do another movie. And that is the only part where I'm like, okay, do we need that? Like, this would have been fine by itself. We don't need, like, there's no survivors in The Omen, you know, in this movie there is. So it's like, mm-hmm. you know, the mother's not around in the original film, but now they're showing us that she is around. So it's like there's a little bit of that like retroactive stuff. But it, none of it is like too, you know, it's
I think
none of it's like offensive. It's just like, come on.
The movie centers around this actress. Her name is Nell Tiger Free.
Is that her real name?
That's her name.
Yeah.
Nell Tiger Free.
She's great. She's great in this movie, but that name's ridiculous.
She's really great in this movie. And it's basically the plot is like she shows up and she's basically going to become a nun at this school, Catholic school in Rome in 1971. There's all these protests going on. They're kind of like showing there's like this kind of like liberal, you know, coming out of the sexual revolution, like uprising. People are
anti-establishment, rethinking.
Secularism, people going up against the church. And this whole movie kind of revolves around this plan Jacob alluded to earlier, where the church is realizing that people are falling away from God and not turning to the church and they're losing power. And we all know that, like, specifically the Catholic Church is all about that power and that money. So desperate to this is coming from the description, desperate to regain power against the rise of secularism, they seek to bring about the Antichrist to create fear and drive people back to the church. With Carlita, who is the one of the we really kind of got to get into the weeds of what's going on, but they're basically trying to breed the Antichrist.
They're trying to breed. There's all these rules. I mean, if you've seen the original Omen, you know that there are rules. He needs to be born on 6/6 at 6 in the morning or whatever. Like there are rules to how he has to be born. It's got to be a male. There's, you know, in the original, the mother was a jackal, but in this movie, the father is a jackal. They switch that shit around. You know, but just like some weird shit. And, you know, they're trying to make those instances happen and it's not happening, or the babies are born weird, or the, you know,
nobody stands up and goes, whoopsies. Listen.
Yeah.
I know the people are falling away from the church, but I kind of feel like bringing about the Antichrist will it'll kind of go against what we're aiming to do here.
But it will ultimately bring everybody in. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, is it dangerous? Is it messed up? Yes.
They're all brainwashed and cultish and crazy people. Like, they're not in the right. They're right. Like, that sounds so stupid, but like, if you watch the movie, you're like, oh, these are crazy people.
Yeah. But they I like the fact that you don't know at first, because it plays out like a really good horror movie where it's like the new setting seems kind of nice in the beginning, where it's like, oh, cool, she's going to be a nun. And this is a nice group of like,
she's got a nice roommate.
You're like, oh, yeah, it looks like they're helping out the young and orphans and the community. And there's lots of ladies around. It's just, you know, like the slow things in the movie, like when the mothers, the nuns are like smoking outside and some of those shots, like, oh, dude, shit's really weird. Smoking, you find out it's the Antichrist factory.
Old nuns smoking cigarettes on trampolines.
Antichrist factory is a new band.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, her roommate who seems like a normal person, the one who like takes her out and gets her drunk and shit. You know, there's that scene towards the end where she's going through like a some sort of ritual, and they cut her hair and everything. I thought it was going to be revealed that she was Mrs. Baylock, who remember Mrs. Baylock is in the original Omen,
first movie,
hangs herself. I thought it was going to be her or whatever.
Oh, yeah. The one that hangs herself. Right.
Either one of them, either the one who hangs herself or Miss, but that's not the same, but they have the same role.
I've been stealing that line. When I feed the cats now, I open it and before I pour it in, I look at all of them and I say, I did it for you.
It's all for you.
It's all for you.
It's all for you, Gizmo.
And he's like, so anyways, as the plot goes, you know, goes on, Margaret, the main character, it is ultimately, I knew there was going to be a twist that she was going to be directly involved.
It's clear.
And then and it's like, oh no, it's actually her who will, they will breed, they will crossbreed the, with the demon with her to create the, they've had a bunch of failed attempts, you know, just like any tech company, you know, you go through,
hide them in the basement in a file.
Yeah. There's some whoopsies and some mess ups.
Yeah.
But I thought she was really great. And then it's kind of that, they are telling that classic story that gets told time and time again, which is it doesn't matter what you're predestined for.
You can choose your destiny, yeah, which is, again, it's something I grasped onto and was like, I love that.
Right.
Like triumphantly. That was a great part.
But ultimately, really fun, really well done modern horror movie. I will watch it again. It's a first time director, Arkasha Stevenson. She directed a couple TV shows and then got involved with this and made one heck of a movie.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. It's a good movie. And like there are like five or six Omen. I mean, they made The Omen. There's Damien Omen 2. There's I can't remember what
the best name for a movie.
There's a third one. And then there was a TV movie. There was a remake in 2006, I think. Like
Omen 3 is The Final Conflict. The
Final Conflict, which stars Sam Neill as Damien.
Oh, oh, really?
Really? Yeah.
Samuel is a grown-up Damien.
Is he in the White House?
Yeah, I think he is. I'm pretty sure he is, yeah.
Oh, shit.
We got to get on these Omens.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of Omen movies. Now, here's the thing, though. This movie's not doing that well in the box office. I don't know if it's going to have a franchise future, but it kind of feels like maybe it's...
Well, I don't think it needs it.
Right.
I don't think it needs it. Like, to me, too many movies of this sort... it doesn't need any more filling out. You know, I don't think there needs to be another movie in between this and The Omen. The Omen this is a prequel to The Omen. They got us there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Damien is born at the end of this film. We don't need, like, I mean, they go so far as to like talk about Gregory Peck's character and show a photo of him and everything. Like it ties up every loose end. I don't think we need a new franchise.
I think it also offers like a little bit of a healing point, and like I don't know if you love this part, Jacob, or not, but when like the girl one survives basically and is like
Damien's
sister survives. I felt like that was sort of a little bit of like a healing moment of like, it's, you can get out and escape and have a separate life. I didn't feel like that was going to be a storyline that they're like, and we're going to follow up on this, or that they needed to.
I thought it
was comforting.
Yeah. Unless they make another, unless the next Omen movie takes place 15 years later and it's Damien versus his sister.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, like that kind of thing.
But wait. Know. But it's like Mortal Kombat.
It's Mortal Kombat. Yeah.
She has to go through. Damien's like top boss, final boss. And she has to go through a whole fighting, just like all the other mess up antichrists with weird faces. Yeah.
Damien doesn't know he's the antichrist at first. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't know it until. I think he doesn't figure it out until the second movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When somebody comes to him, they're like, you've got your father in you.
It's like Star Wars.
That's what I was just thinking. I was like,
when Max von Sydow like Rey, comes to him,
it's going to be like, will she go to the dark side or will she be the Antichrist that turns away from it?
All these.
Hey, remember when people thought Max von Sydow was playing an old Boba Fett in
Force Awakens? She'll always be royalty to me. Max von Sydow. That's the Exorcist connection and Viggo.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The voice.
Mm-hmm. Don't do the voice.
Really cool movie though. While we've been talking, I've been kind of like on a Richard Donner, like kind of what an interesting career he had. It makes me want to go back and watch the first Superman movies. I almost said Supertown. It's not a movie. Maybe we should write a movie called Supertown.
Okay. Yeah. Get it on Shudder.
All right. Quick pitch. Here's the log line. In a town where everybody has superhero powers, one boy must figure
out... Is the Antichrist.
Starring Damien in Supertown. I do like in the first Omen at the end, the last shot where he turns around and gives that little smile. He's like, I'm back.
Nah, my favorite part of the original Omen is when he's going to church and he is just freaking the fuck out. Yeah, he's
freaking out in the car. He doesn't want to go.
Very relatable for me. That's exactly how I was being driven to church.
Yeah, you see how uncomfortable he's like, yeah, hold on, like, where are we going?
It's like a dog with that figures out he's going to the vet.
Yeah,
exactly. What,
what street is this?
Maybe now, Craig, that you've seen The Omen, you can go back and watch those. There are some South Park episodes that are highly like
influenced.
There's a character. Isn't there not a character called Damien in South Park? And like every time he shows up, they have the music playing. The like with the, you know, the chorus singing the like Dominos, like all that. That's from The Omen.
Damien
that is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
That is, that's from awesome. The Omen. That's really great. Back. Dude, I like a what was I just gonna say? Oh, the in Seinfeld, it's one of the funniest lines ever where they're talking about The Omen. And Kramer goes, "Who, Damien? There's nothing wrong with him, just a misunderstood little boy." So funny.
I agree.
So that was really good. And then I was reading this Richard Donner Wikipedia. Here's an interesting, fun Richard Donner fact. It says, and we know Wikipedia has literally never been wrong about anything. It says that when there was a bidding war for Jurassic Park, Richard Donner would have served as director of Jurassic Park had Columbia TriStar won the bidding war for the rights after.
Wow.
But they didn't.
Good.
I don't know if Richard Donner's Jurassic Park would have been as good as Steven Spielberg.
No.
Of course not. Of course not.
The log line would have been a, "You'll believe a dinosaur can fly."
Mm. Hey, this Superman.
It's all for you, Owen. That's Jurassic World. Damn it.
I was about to say, I was like, Owen.
Craig's like, who's
Owen? Came to me.
You don't like the Superman movies?
Alan.
I don't think they're very good. I mean, I haven't seen them in a long time either. And it's partially because I don't really care about Superman, but I never thought those movies were very rewatchable.
I used to watch the first one when I was a kid all the time.
Yeah.
I love the scene where I thought it was so funny when he's like holding up the car or whatever. Like as a kid, I was like, that's crazy. You can't do that. Cause he's a kid. It's like that age old thing. Like kids like seeing kids do stuff.
Yeah.
And when he's a kid and he like lifts up the car, I was like, that's nuts. This guy's crazy. So, okay. Well, I want everyone to check out The Omen. Let us know if you've seen it. Let us know if you've seen any of these horror movies. Hey, go for it.
What I was just going to say, it gets me excited about, I like when we talk about horror movies because it makes me feel like October's coming and
it's coming.
And listen, I want to go ahead and say this. I had some really big plans for like a YHS Halloween episode last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we didn't do it because we just didn't have time.
So we'll do
it. Was like too much stuff happening.
Yeah.
But I was like all bummed out. I was like, oh, we're going to do this. We're going to do this kind of stuff. Let's remember, do it. Remember the episode we did for Patreon that we put out on the cassette tape?
Yeah.
I wanted to do something like that again, where it's got all the, some sound effects and, some spooky stuff. And we'll talk about some good movies. And
yeah.
Let's do it. Talking about horror movies, it's just like it makes me happy. There's a lot of horror.
There is a
in the theater right now, and
there's a gleam in your eyes. I'm noticing it.
I think it's like when I think about my like four favorite movies, or when I'm trying to narrow down favorites, like a lot of them are horror movies.
Yeah,
like
it's made just my the best time of the year.
Yeah, I like it.
Obviously, we all love going to Halloween Horror Nights. I don't know if they're going to have an Omen House this year. Maybe they will.
What would it be? You just go through and watch somebody kill a baby?
God. That's it. That's the ride.
I hope it's the conception scene.
I hope it's the concession stand.
Okay, yeah. I hope there's a concession
stand. I hope there's Omen
the conception scene. So I can have a little drink, a little snack.
You're like, let me see. I'll have the Damien funnel cake and... Do you have
for you, Shane? It's like a piece of cheese in the shape of a baby with seven skewers in it in the right spots, you know?
Nice.
It's just daggers. It's just one of those turkey legs. But it just has a little 666 branded on the other side.
That's cool. They should just do that normally.
I used to want to get that as a tattoo, the little 666. Like,
did you
in the little triangle shape?
Oh, the 666 in the circular. Right.
Yeah, and the weird little shape. I was like, I'm going to get
that. But that's how we would know you're not the Antichrist, because you would already have it.
Right.
Hey.
Maybe I do. I don't know.
I love,
Shave our heads and see.
This would be a great sitcom.
See, he's got it.
I want to see a sitcom about the Antichrist. And he comes back and he's supposed to do like all the Antichrist stuff, you know, yeah. the uprising and all.
But he's like fat and lazy, and he's like, yeah. I just want to watch.
Well, I just want to play funny. Nintendo.
He's living at his parents' house.
Yeah, he's just hanging out. Well, actually, this I had an idea.
Wait, hold on. He just hangs out at his parents' house, who's just like a human mom and then a goat.
Yes, yep. Yes. It's hard to bring about the end of the world from your parents' basement.
He works at GameStop.
But the whole premise of the show is that he's like, this year I'm finally going to do it. And it's like him trying to.
Now we're on to something.
This is a good premise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He like cracks open the book of Revelation.
It's the Omen meets Step Brothers.
Yeah.
Just no motivation.
Doing the evil.
So, hey, we should talk about that Maxine trailer too, since we're on the topics of horror movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maxine awesome. Trailer dropped. You guys excited?
Yeah. The Pearl and X are some of my favorite movies. So, yeah, I'm very excited.
Yeah, I think it looks great. I think X is really, really, really good. Pearl, I liked, but not as I didn't think Pearl was as good as X. But Maxine looks like it might be better than both of them. Like, it looks awesome. Like, the it's got so much happening in that trailer, and there's like a video store, and there's just like all the things that like get me going, you know, all the things I want to be in a horror movie look like they're in Maxine. And the fact that the villain is a real life, you know, serial killer, a thing that really happened, like, it just, I don't know, man, this movie, like, I was a little, I don't want to say I was bummed, but I was like a little bummed with Pearl.
Underwhelmed?
But I was a little underwhelmed. This movie looks fucking awesome to me.
Awesome.
So I like serial killers. I'm into them. I'm glad they're not around. I'm just glad they're not around as much anymore. Like, if you grew up in the 70s and 80s, like, you gotta watch your back.
It's the heyday.
You could have got serial killed. Yeah.
You could have been serial killed at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love that. Jacob, did you finish that Richard Ramirez documentary?
I did. Yeah, I did.
Hey, it's really scary.
It is disturbing.
It is. Yeah.
It's really, really fucked up. I do love the way he gets caught, by the way.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
All the anytime citizens stop a thing from happening.
Right.
Like, I love when citizens are like, this is
just evil dies tonight.
Yeah. Evil dies tonight. But anyway, so I really thought that was the trailer. I thought I was playing the trailer.
That was the teaser.
That's fine. It's all good.
Yeah, we didn't see. Well, go get the trailer. Although if you want to work through it.
Well, I mean, we can go through it quietly like that. It's just I haven't watched it since it came out. So
yeah.
Like,
so let's do. Yeah.
Okay. So this is Ty West's follow up. The conclusion of the Maxine trilogy.
Kevin Bacon is in this.
Fuck right? Yeah. Almost unrecognizable. Yeah.
All right, let's try that again. I mean, I'll see this on like opening weekend, dude.
I'm seeing this opening night at the Plaza in the same.
Like, I will straight up.
I saw Pearl in.
I'll see it on a Saturday morning.
When's it come out?
Heck, dude.
July 5th.
Cool.
That's very soon.
That's a good time.
Hey,
it's a good time to be alive, folks.
Hey, July is going to be a fun. We have Twister, Maxine. And Deadpool in July is going to be a fun movie.
Wow. That's going to be good.
Hey, I might see all three.
Mm-hmm.
Hit that button. Just, hit that play
that's
button.
That's my new thing. My new favorite thing.
Yeah.
We know your new thing.
I might eat dinner tonight. All right, here we go. Do you want audio or we're just going to kind of.
Oh, it doesn't look matter. At it. We can go through it however you want.
I like the aesthetic. I really like this. There's something about, like, you know, 1980s, like, I don't know if you, if you're, I don't even know if I want to talk about this. Did your parents have porn?
Yes.
Did your parents have porn in the house?
Yeah.
The boxes were so big. Why were the boxes so big for 80s porn?
That's a lot of footage.
I don't know.
It's like those CDs that come in those really long packages.
I mean, I guess they don't edit 1985, anything out.
This is my birth year.
Let's get back to this.
Look at this video store. The video store. I love it.
Mia Goth is in like a different look, like a hair metal type of like late 80s. Awesome.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then as you could see, the Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez, is part of the
part of the mix.
I'm wondering,
like happening in the background of the story, I guess. And then probably somehow connects.
Maybe the face off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maxine's a copycat killer. I don't know what this is going to be.
I mean, I think she's going to stop him is what I think.
Bates. All this Bates Motel. You're like, oh, she's
fucking Universal.
It's so awesome.
Yeah. I mean, is there a chance she goes on the tram ride and we see Jaws in this movie? Like,
yes, if there's a kill on the tram ride, which I bet there will be, like, that's, I feel like that opportunity to play around in history is like something that
it's Ty so West weird. Does.
I didn't even see it.
It's just like watching this trailer. I was like, oh, cool. Video store. I like these aesthetics. Oh, Universal Studios in the 80s. Psycho. I'm like, why is everything that's amazing is in this trailer? Like, look, that's the back lot. That
the back lot.
Maybe. Oh, she's making a movie that's on the back lot of Universal Studios.
Yes.
So that's why she's there.
It's going to be like Pee Wee Herman.
Dude, with the keys.
This is so fun.
It's going to be great. Hey, here's another thing. Boogie Nights is one of my all-time favorite movies. And like the last act of Boogie Nights, like the last 20 minutes that takes place during this time period is the best.
Yeah.
Everyone's just fucking coked out, making porns.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be great.
It's a good time. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
No rules.
I bet it's going to be violent. I'm so excited. Violent
as hell. Yeah.
I'm really excited.
I think it's going to be hot. I think it's going to be awesome.
So anyways, back to these porn boxes being so good.
We've got to get one of those.
What's that? There's an Instagram. There's an Instagram called, what is it? 80s Beta Massacre. Have you ever been on that Instagram? And it's basically all this aesthetic, like anything that's like smut, horror, 80s pornography. It's a good,
I'm looking for it right now.
It's a good follow.
What's it called?
80s Beta Massacre. I hope I'm not promoting like they didn't get canceled or something, but did you find it?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good follow. It's a good follow, but it just reminds me of some.
It's a lot. There's a lot of porn on here.
Is it just porn?
It's not just, but like there's horror stuff and I see the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah. Cool.
It's like,
yeah. Just awesome.
But
stuff.
It's like every other photo is pornography.
Well, it's got the three B's.
We're close to it. There's no
80s
like,
porn has the three
no
B's.
There's no explicit nudity here.
Do you know what the three B's are?
Yes, probably.
Big boxes.
Barely. Well,
you're wrong because Joe Bob actually talks about the three B's in its blood, breasts, and beasts.
Oh. Okay, I was going to say another
one. I thought you were going to say Bush.
Me too.
The band.
Now Matt Bush. So grateful for him. Well, he's in most of them.
Glycerine. Fuck yeah. Maxine's going to be awesome. Good shit right there. I'll tell you that much.
I love having really good horror to look forward to. It's like the most heightened your senses can be. Like in a movie theater, it's something that I didn't grow up watching horror movies and going to see them. So I celebrate doing that as an adult now. And I can't wait to go see Maxine.
Yeah, that's going to be great. The Deadpool trailer came out. We don't think we need to cover it too extensively, but it looks fun. I'm sure it's going to be Deadpool. Mm-hmm. There'll be a bunch of cameos, and maybe Hugh Jackman has digital arms. Maybe he doesn't. No one can tell. Did you hear about this whole thing?
No, I didn't. Do they look digital?
Well, they kind of do, but it's hard to tell these days. But it's because his sleeves get ripped off at some point.
Mm. Right.
Okay.
But people don't know.
To get them bigger.
No, to make his costume accurate. Like in the when the photo came out a while back, there's the picture of him in the Wolverine costume, but it's got sleeves, and Wolverine doesn't have sleeves. So a lot of people were like, "Why are they going to go through all this trouble to make the costume accurate, but then put sleeves on it?" So then there were like rumors, like, "Oh, well, he's going to rip the sleeves off at some point." So then the trailer comes out. The full trailer and half of the shots of him in the costume, the sleeves are ripped off. But people are like, well, did they actually rip the sleeves off, or did they
listen to
or did
feedback?
They Yeah, or did they like CGI his arms over the sleeves so people wouldn't be so mad about it? But I think they probably just ripped him off, because if they did a CGI, then it's weird to me. They rip this, they take the sleeves off to make it accurate, but they also rip his shoulder guards off, which makes it again not accurate. You got to leave the shoulder guards on.
We have to look.
Hey, hold on. Hey, also, don't even talk to me until he puts his fucking mask on. It's not, I don't care until Wolverine's wearing a mask.
Right. That's what you've always said.
That's what I've always said.
All right. So this is the trailer. I'm just going to skip to the whole sleeve thing.
Wait, which version of the trailer is this? It's got like,
I mean, look, some other language. I don't want to get a copyright strike. So
he's wearing sleeves there.
He's wearing sleeves. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they're having a chat.
He had his shoulder guards there.
Yeah, there you can tell.
Okay, this is where.
This is it when you see it for the first time. Sleeves gone.
Okay, no sleeves.
Is that a fake arm?
No shoulder guards.
I don't know. Is that a fake arm? Oh, that didn't work.
Yeah, I can't.
Well, I don't know what you're doing.
I don't know.
It looks like an arm to me.
Yeah. All I know is we got to get those clicks, so the thumbnail is going to say fake arms.
Fake arms.
We talk about it for 3 seconds.
2 seconds, so people get mad. Yeah.
Well, we don't know. Yeah. We're near the end, but I want to talk about this Quentin Tarantino thing.
Okay.
Because he was getting ready to make this last movie.
What mm-hmm. happened?
So he announced that. So little backstory: Quentin Tarantino has always said he's only going to make 10 movies, right? Well, he's up to 9, mm-hmm. and obviously his last movie was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Now, Jacob, you've been critical of this 10 movie plan, have you not?
Yeah, I want 20 Quentin Tarantino movies.
He says he doesn't want to be one of those directors trying to.
I get it. I understand why he says that. But the rules don't apply to Quentin Tarantino. Like he makes the most amazing movies every single time.
Right.
And I don't think he's anywhere near that point where he's going to start making bad movies.
Right.
I think he should just keep going.
We haven't even seen one little sign that could happen.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood's it's great. It's just as good as everything else. And I'm like, it doesn't feel like a director slowing down. Why would you only make one more? So I get his like stress about not wanting to. He also, on top of that, he said it was in this article that he wouldn't make any more movies past the age of
60
or he's whatever. He's over that. So
basically his last.
Don't limit yourself. I say, like, if you're doing great, keep doing it.
His last film was going to be called The Movie Critic. He had been toying around with this idea for a while. Details were loose on what it was going to be, other than it was going to be about a movie critic, a real one, possibly inspired by some 1970s film critic that would write reviews in the back of like a porno magazine. This main topic tonight. This movie was going to be done at Sony Pictures. They were excited about it. It was going to obtain a big $25 million tax credit from the state of California, they were going to actually film a scene very soon this year to get the tax credit and then do the rest of it next year. Mm-hmm. Hollywood Reporter has this whole article about it. I suggest everybody watch it. But essentially, it's now not happening.
Okay.
For whatever reason, this is not going to be his next movie. The main rumor was that they were going to bring back Brad Pitt reprising his characters of is it Cliff Booth?
Yeah.
From Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And now it's not happening, but some of the stuff in this article that's really interesting is that there were rumors that this was going to be almost like an Avengers
lineup.
Well, in a sense that this was going to be the end all be all. There's always been this thought that all of the Quentin Tarantino movies take place in the same universe, and that this movie would have cameos from other actors and characters from the whole Quentin Tarantino filmography.
Right. Because it takes place kind of in the time period that some of the other. Yeah, I read this article and it was like it's written in a way that it could bring in characters from other Quentin Tarantino movies that you haven't seen since Pulp Fiction and shit like that.
I feel like he could have pulled it off. Like, I don't think that's my number one, like, final Quentin Tarantino movie. I'd rather him just make a great, another great movie. But I'm not going to lie. Like, that sounds kind of cool. But now he's not going to do it.
Well, I read this article, and a couple people, you know, there's quotes from a couple people in the article that are close to Quentin Tarantino or his filmmaking process. And they were like, this is nothing new that he's done this 20 times. Like he's always got a project that he almost makes and then decides not to make. So they're like, there's nothing like crazy that happened. He just he's just not making this movie anymore. He's going to go do something else. So
And also, like, the last time he did
was
this,
and I mean, they talked about you might be, what were you about to say? Because you might be about to mention what I was going to say.
Well, The Hateful Eight, he backed out of that.
Right. He backed out of Hateful Eight. And then it also said that, like, he wrote Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, he wrote it as this huge book first.
Right.
And that was going to be it. And then, like, last minute, he said, fuck it, I'm going to make it a movie.
Right.
So, like, yeah, I don't know.
Well, Abby, I trust what Quentin's going to do. Like, I trust that he's making the right decision for himself.
Yeah. I don't think it's the final word either, like Jacob's saying. Like, I think there's a chance that he could, if he's falling in love with things and at least, like, bringing them part of the way through, like, it seems like he's going to go back to them at some point. I mean, it would make me happy. And I'd like to see a successful 10th movie, and then I'd like to see an 11th and a 12th and even more.
See, he's also talked about doing a series. I wonder if that's going to be his loophole. He's like, well, I'm going to do like a 3-season series.
Do a show. Yeah.
Do it. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I'd watch it.
But
more freedom.
I think here's my theory. I think Quentin Tarantino very much wants the movie that comes out on the credits to say, the final movie by Quentin Tarantino.
100%.
And if he does that, and then he in 10 years makes another one, who's got egg on his face now?
No,
he's stressed.
No, we're all lucky for it. Like, if he goes and makes another one, then you make another great movie. No one's going to be like, nope, but he said you wouldn't.
But he also, like, he's already using loopholes and stuff. Hey, he's already made 10 movies. He does not count Death Proof as a movie. I'm sorry, Quentin.
Yeah, and that's his best one. So
that's a great movie, and it's better than one or two of your other movies. So it's like,
does he count Kill Bill as one movie?
I think he counts Kill Bill as one movie, and then he counts. I'm not sure on that.
I got to get to the bottom of this.
I mean, listen. You can go through them.
The numbers.
What was the first? There's Jackie Brown, Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction,
Reservoir Dogs. Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown, Kill Bill, 1 and
Kill
2.
Kill Bill 2. That's 5.
Death Proof, Inglourious, Django, Hateful, Hollywood. Okay, so he's already
Made 10, but he doesn't count. He doesn't count Death Proof.
All right, real quick. Let's get everybody's Tarantino rankings. Come on. Can you even do a top 3?
I can do a top 1. It's Inglourious Basterds. Inglourious Basterds is
it's one of the best.
Not only, I mean, Inglourious Basterds might be like one of the best movies ever made. It's to me, it's so far above. To me, it's not even a debate. That's his best movie.
Okay,
but it's hard past that because they are all. I feel like all of them except for Jackie Brown are like on equal footing. You know what I mean? Like, if you told me any of his movies were your favorite, I'd be like, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Death Proof is number one for me, I think.
Wow. That is...
Why is that surprising?
I'm not saying it's surprising, but that's just a... I don't think that's a common...
I think it's a take. I think it's a little bit of a hot take, but I understand why.
Yeah, you understand why. It pays off. I'd say probably, like, Reservoir Dogs after that, and then maybe Hateful Eight. My top three.
Yeah.
Dude,
and I do love Inglourious Basterds too. The fact is, I love them all. Like, I've got favorite things in all of them, which is why it's like, dude, make more. Please give me more things to love.
Hateful Eight's probably my number one. I love Inglourious Basterds. Obviously I like Pulp Fiction, but it never is like on my top five.
Like, no, I think Kill Bill's probably in my top, but if you did it as one movie.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then it would probably be Hateful Eight after that.
Mm-hmm. But then you think.
But Django's also Django. Like amazing. Like,
we all forgot about Django. Yeah.
Oh, we didn't forget about Django. Those were my thing.
Yeah, with I don't Tarantino know. They're all great.
They're such great movie going experiences. You're just smiling the whole time. You can't believe how crazy and good the dialogue is. You can't believe what Leonardo DiCaprio is wearing a flamethrower and killing fucking, you know.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
It's for me at that, like playing around in history and like doing a revisionist, like fictional history. Like, I love that stuff. Like, what if this happened differently?
Yeah. I think if he's going to go out and he's only going to do one more movie, I would prefer it not to be. I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood's great. But if he's going to end, I feel like his last movie needs to be a true Quentin Tarantino movie and just be violent as fuck. Like that movie, you know, it's got that violent ending, but that's, you know, that's 5 minutes of a 3-hour movie. Like when I think about Quentin Tarantino, I think about Kill Bill or Pulp Fiction or Django or Hateful Eight. They're all so violent in the most like stylistic and awesome ways. And I feel like his last movie needs to have that in it. It can't just. I don't want it to just be about a movie critic, which I know it wouldn't just be about a movie critic, but you know what I mean? I want that. I want that Quentin Tarantino.
That oomph, chutzpah, gumption, all that kind of stuff.
I agree. And I'll end on this. What I love about Tarantino is that he stayed consistent. He never went and made just a commercial movie. He never decided to that's the thing with you got to remember when Tarantino was in Richard Linklater and Kevin Smith. They were all talked about these are all the up and coming guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, you know,
Tarantino's doing good.
Yeah. Tarantino's on that
cop out.
Only the quality.
I do think that the part of the issue with Kevin Smith and maybe maybe this is something that gets to him deep down. Maybe it doesn't, but he did not stick with what made him Kevin Smith. He did try to go commercial and he did then try to go backwards and reclaim. And it's hard at that point.
Yeah.
Let's have him on the pod and ask him about it. We'll ask Kevin Smith the hard hitting questions we didn't ask Gil Cannon.
According to our list. Why did your movie start sucking?
Right. Well, yeah.
Look, I'm just a guy from New Jersey and whatnot trying to make fucking movies about fucking fart jokes and dicks and shit. I don't know. Okay. Hey, this was a fun episode. Abigail.
Yeah.
Did you have a great time?
Yeah, it was cathartic. It was fun. I really enjoyed talking about the subject matter. And I'm excited to get off podcasting duties now and go watch movies in the living room. And
over there?
Yeah, it's right there. Get some food. And enjoy the night. Yeah.
Love food. Food's good. Jacob, any final thoughts?
No, I think everybody should go watch these older horror movies, The Omen. Watch it. Please go watch what is it called? The First Omen? What the titles are not, the naming of the sequels is not great, but just go watch them because they need your help and they're actually good movies. And they're out there and, hey, I love Godzilla X Kong, but it's literally, as Jay Key keeps calling it, it's like the Fast and the Furious. There's zero substance to it. It's just like big, dumb fun. And that's okay sometimes. But movies like The Omen, that are real movies that people are taking a lot of time and putting a lot of creativity into, they should be seen. So go watch these movies.
I love it. I have nothing else to say. Other than good night for Abigail Gardner and Jacob Walsh. My name is Craig Goldberg. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Yes, Have Some Podcasts. You can follow us on all of our social media platforms at YHS Podcast on Instagram, on X.
It's all for you, Patreon.
We should tease the next episode.
Oh, we should. Jacob has this. He's got a great idea. Abby, I don't think.
I was like, do you know what it is, Craig? I don't know what it is.
We've talked about it.
We talked about it a little bit.
Hit me with
I did mention it.
Are we doing a?
Let's see what you think it is.
What I think it is that we're doing the draft, Like we're drafting movies.
No, we're not going to do that. Although I have a couple ideas for that. Including
that's already a podcast.
The Ghostbusters soundtrack draft. No, we're going to talk about aliens.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
UFOs, not the movie Aliens.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm still excited.
Aliens, UFOs, cryptozoology.
Ghosts, everything. Ghosts.
We're going to give our opinions.
And real opinions on the real things. Oh,
that's fun.
On the most famous stories. And listen, I'd love to have Dan Aykroyd.
I was like, well, this is all for Dan.
But I don't know if he'll be able to like
Dan. I don't know if Dan is going to like what probably at least a couple of us have to say about a lot of the stuff. But
no, that's actually a human picking.
I just feel like it'd be fun. You know, we talk about Ghostbusters a lot. We should talk. We should give our real feelings on some of these paranormal things.
Okay.
The origin of this. Yeah. The origin of this is sometimes people assume because we love Ghostbusters so much that we're like into ghost hunting. And I don't think it could be further from the truth.
Further from the truth.
If you guys ever want to have a great time, watch Abby and Jake on a ghost tour at the Shining Hotel. And
we're just like,
I'm like, wow, that I think that pencil maybe moved.
And I'm like, these people are trying to fucking make me join a cult.
All right. Well, more on that soon. If you want to get extra bonus audio, extra content, and exclusive access to the White Just Discord, I suggest you listen to what's about to play as soon as this episode is done, because you're going to learn more about the Yes Have Some Patreon. Okay. All right. Hey, we'll see everybody.
Pop culture coffee.
Right. Well, I was just going to say Patreon got an extra 30 minutes at the beginning of this episode.
So. They did.
Yeah. You all missed out. It was really intimate and private, and we said a bunch of revealing stuff, and you should probably go sign up.
It's true.
No, we were honest.
We said what we're actually watching.
We were vulnerable.
Yeah. Good. All right. It's good to be vulnerable.
Okay. Well, bye.
Bye.
Oh, Jacob.
Yes, Craig.
You know how you always say we're doing too much and we need to scale back?
I absolutely do.
Well, it's not going to happen. In fact, we're going to do more.
Oh, my God.
But that's okay, because what I'm talking about right now is the YHS Patreon community, where you can unlock over 5 years of bonus audio content. Now, that sounds pretty good, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's enough.
Every month, if you are part of the YHS Patreon, which you can sign up for at patreon.com/yeshavesome, for as little as $5 a month, you can be part of the YHS Discord, which is exclusive to Patreon. And we do bonus audio episodes every month. And Jacob, we got a new Ghostbusters movie this year. Yeah. There's a lot to talk about. There's things that we really can't always talk about on the main feed, but we like to give a little behind the scenes insight to our Patreon folks.
Sure. It's a really fun community over there, and it's really fun to throw some teases in there, some early videos or content that might not make its way on the main feed. There's also an Instagram. I don't even know if you mentioned the Instagram. There's a
Patreon Instagram.
Exclusive Instagram. It is just like I said. We're really doing a lot. And honestly, YHS is our favorite thing. It's what we all want to be doing full time. And Patreon is really what helps us out the most.
Absolutely. So like I said, patreon.com/yeshavesome. For as little as $5 a month, you can get access. And there are a couple different tiers, including the top tier, which is a merch tier, where 4 times a year you get an exclusive piece of YHS merch. And right now we're working on the one that's going to launch spring, summer. And I don't want to sell you guys on it too hard, but is going to be good. You're going to be upset if you don't have this. So thank you for the continued support of YHS over the last 8 years. And if you want to give a little bit and it goes directly to us and supports all this madness that we participate in, it's patreon.com/yeshavesome.